Being a stylist has never been more rewarding, but it's also never been so complex. As hairstylists, we often forget that we are working in a multi-billion dollar industry. The beauty industry is growing faster than ever, and there's so much left on the table because stylists aren't taking the time to understand business. I'm Melissa, your host. I'm a million-dollar salon owner, a six-figure stylist, and founder and CEO of Sierra and Sage Extensions. And while all of that may sound impressive, I'm just a hairstylist, just like you. And I'm here to help you understand how to achieve the same by bringing business to beauty. All right, guys, welcome back to Bringing Business to Beauty podcast. We are on season 2, episode 3. I am super excited. We have a guest with us again today. Her name is Kenzie.
Hi, guys. So happy to be here.
So Kenzie is a top stylist at the salon that I own, and she is also the director of education here at Sierra and Sage. So I'm really excited for you guys to get to know her a little bit better and really just talking about her success behind the chair. So today's episode is really going to be all about growing your business behind the chair. We are titling it A Growth State of Mind, and we are going to be talking about all things that you should be focused on in order to fully grow your business behind the chair. All right, Kenzie, I would love for you to just introduce yourself to our listeners and kind of give them a little background of where you're at in the industry.
Awesome. So I am a level 5 stylist at Atelier Beauty Bar. And I have been working there for a little under 4 years now, and I've been with Sierra and Sage since the beginning. I actually started out as Melissa's assistant at the salon. I graduated from school, kind of started at a random salon in one of the casinos here in Reno, and just realized that I needed further education, and I really wanted the ability to grow my clientele more and just build myself a better career rather than just starting out on my own. So fast forward to now, I'm obviously still at Atelier, still loving it. I am working with my own assistant now. I only work 4 days a week, and I'm super proud of myself to say that I am now a six-figure stylist, and I really get to just do what I love every day.
Yeah, so like Kenzie said, I am also super proud of her for what she's achieved, especially in such little time. I might have a little bit of a soft spot because she was my assistant, but that's beside the point. She worked super, super hard to get to where she is, and we are excited to share today just a little bit about like a growth mindset and some of the goals that you really should be tracking behind the chair if you are looking to achieve the same type of success behind the chair. Okay, so Kenzie, what I would love to know, right now you're obviously like pretty established behind the chair. You have a pretty solid clientele, you stay pretty busy, you're working with an assistant, you're oftentimes double booked. Do you feel like right now you have kind of like a different mindset than you did when you were really like pushing to build a clientele?
Honestly, yes. And a lot of it I feel like has to stay the same if you want to maintain your clientele and keep them interested. Like, I always want to track my numbers. I always want to keep that connection with my clients to make sure that they know that I care. But I feel like a lot of my energy has been focused more towards on building up my assistants and just keeping a more luxury experience for my current clientele that I have, and making sure that I don't push them away by just kind of making them bored or not asking them questions that they like to be asked. I have so many clients that come to me after leaving their stylist of 10 plus years because they didn't listen to them. So just really focusing on the clients that I have now rather than just always trying to get more.
Yeah, definitely. I honestly think that's one of the biggest issues in our industry is like, I feel like as stylists, we get comfortable with our clients when we've had them for so long, and we kind of like forget that they almost feel more like friends or like family.
Absolutely.
Almost, where you like kind of get lazy and you don't like offer new things. You don't do solid consultations. You don't like offer them retail. You're not even thinking about trying to book their next appointment because you just like assume it's going to happen. And I feel like so many stylists lose clients that way.
Yeah, I would say lately, like half of my new clientele that squeezes into my books are coming to me super nervous to come to a new person, but they were just so over giving their last girl a chance to do something different and just letting her do the same thing over and over again without even having a consultation. Like, people forget about a consultation over time, so.
Definitely. Yeah, I think consultation is so important. And I mean, honestly, it's something I get lazy about too, but it's something I consistently try to remind myself, like, every service should start that way, and it's important.
Absolutely.
Okay, so earlier in your introduction, you mentioned something about creating a luxury experience for your clients. Can you share with us a little about like what you mean by that or what that looks like?
Yeah. So I feel like a lot of people get caught up, and I definitely did at that time, just in, like you said, that growth state of mind. I was really just focused on getting as many clients in as I could, as many clients out as I could. Having an assistant made that super possible. But I felt like eventually some of my clients kind of felt honestly like neglected by me and felt like they weren't getting enough of me. So lately I feel like I've been focusing more on just making sure that no matter how long they're here or how many clients I have in a day, their experience is up to par for what they are paying for and what they expect from me.
Definitely. I think that could be hard too. And actually I know in the past you and I had a conversation about that. It's really easy to, I don't know. I feel like when you're in that like hustle and bustle every day and you're working with an assistant, especially when you get to a point like in your assistant program where you really trust that person that's working with you, it's really easy to kind of like not like step away or neglect the client, but you're so focused on another client and you feel so comfortable leaving your assistant with your client that sometimes we forget like, oh, that is still my client and they are still are expecting like FaceTime with me.
Yes. Right? And if they've come to get used to a certain experience from you before you were building, like your clients that have been with you from the beginning are expecting that even with an assistant. I've even had a few clients who are a little bit skeptical at the beginning of an assistant. So you really want to prove to them that they can have even a more luxurious, like better experience and really get their money's worth and time's worth from being there with you.
I think that's so true. A lot of people, I think like clients and even stylists view like having an assistant as a negative. But it sounds like you've kind of found a way not only for yourself behind the chair, but for your clients to see it as a positive.
Totally. I also feel like eventually when you have that type of clientele that you've built up and they've seen you grow, I have a lot of clients who are like interested to hear what I am teaching my current assistant. A lot of them are like, wow, that's new. That's new. And that's another thing that will keep your clients with you too, is giving them information that they aren't going to have to go look for online about their hair. Like you are their hairstylist. You should be able to give them the information that they're looking for.
Yeah, I feel like it's funny because clients get used to seeing you with an assistant and like that kind of becomes part of the experience that they expect. So like for me, I'm obviously not behind the chair as much. And so I don't have an assistant right now because I'm trying to figure out like how that's going to fit into my schedule now. But I feel like every time my clients come in and I don't have an assistant, it's almost like they're like bothered by it.
They're just confused too,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Like, oh, are you by yourself? And I'm like, yeah, is that a problem?
I'm like, damn, you're blow drying me alone.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
They're like, get me out of here, please. But yeah, so they do kind of come to like expect it, I guess, when they're used to it. And it does become part of like their experience, I think.
I agree completely.
Okay, so let's backtrack a little bit and talk about what it was like when you first finished assisting and you were thrown behind the chair to start building a clientele.
Yeah, so honestly, that was probably one of the trickiest parts of my career, and I've seen a lot of my assistants now go through it, but going from working with such an established stylist and their schedule to being thrown on the floor and having to then build yourself a clientele and really not having much to do at that time, it can feel really like overwhelming and just, oh my God, how am I supposed to fill this many hours of my day with clients? But I really just took the time to just start really tracking my numbers, really focusing on my social media, really connecting with the clients that I did have, and referrals are one of the biggest ways to go at the very beginning.
Okay, so social media, referrals, what are some, I guess, because I feel like I remember, although it was so long ago, I remember being at that phase of my career and like trying to build a clientele, and like you get so discouraged. And like literally there's days where you're like, why am I even wasting my time? Like this is never gonna happen for me. In those moments, I feel like you're such a positive person just in a general sense. But in those moments, because I know you had them, what are things that you would like tell yourself or do that would help pull you like out of that negative mindset?
Honestly, I would just tell myself, like, if I'm not doing anything to fix it, then there's nothing that's going to change. Like, I just had to do something, even if it didn't feel like it was something that was really going to make me grow. Like, you remember, I had that crappy little doll head when I first started, and I literally hot glued like cheap wefts onto it so that I could practice braiding, post pictures of me like styling it and use it and pretend it was a human. I'm sure it doesn't look like a human on my Instagram. Please don't go look. But it was definitely workable for me at the time. And I would have comments. I'd have people following me. And then just honestly watching videos, just practicing on a doll head, the more that I would have a better outcome on a doll head or like anything that I was doing as far as that, the better I would feel about getting a client in and doing that. And taking a million pictures of each client and each doll head to make sure that I had all the content.
Okay, so it sounds like, in a nutshell, like keeping yourself busy and keeping yourself kind of focused on any aspect of the career whatsoever kind of helped you like get yourself into a more positive mindset.
Yeah, I think that helped a lot. One more thing that I would say helped a lot is not using my social media page as just for my hair. Posting my life and what I was going through and what I was doing with my life made my clients connect to me. And then we would just be having a normal conversation like anyone on Instagram would. And then they'd be like, oh my God, I need my hair done. And it just connects from there. And just getting that connection from your clients from the beginning, like you have so much downtime to be able to build off of that at the beginning that I think it's really important to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I think it's huge for me. Like, I mean, obviously, I haven't had to search for a hairstylist in the like social media era because I've been a hairstylist since before that. But I can imagine myself like as a client looking for a hairdresser. And like, even if I was looking at your page and you had like the most beautiful photos and like the most beautiful hair, like I still personally wouldn't feel comfortable booking with you knowing I'm going to spend hours with you if I don't know anything about you.
I totally agree. Yeah. If you just seem like a hair robot, like yeah. I don't want that.
No. Yeah. Like I want someone that I can connect with, especially for me because I'm kind of like introverted and like a little bit socially awkward. So I want to know like coming into you again to spend hours with you that not only you can give me the results I'm looking for, but like I can actually sit there and like not feel like I'm having like forced, painful conversation.
Totally. And honestly, something that you taught me when I was first working with you was that you had a lot of clients who were maybe a little quieter and I kind of was a little overwhelming to some of them here and there, whatever. But you just really showed me that you're going to attract the type of energy that you're putting out, whether that be a good thing or a bad thing. If you're getting a whole bunch of clients that you just don't love to talk to, they're not fun, like maybe you need to switch your energy around a little bit. Or if you like, you're going to attract what you put out. So just be mindful of that too.
Yeah, that's so true. I've always said that if like, I don't know, if you have a bunch of drama going on in your life and you're always talking about it with your clients, like you're naturally going to attract that type of clientele. And like for me, I don't want that. If you thrive on other people's drama, good for you. That's great. But for me, I don't want to have a day where I like come into the salon and like all I'm hearing is like all of my clients just unpacking all of their baggage on me. Like that's too heavy for me and I can't do that.
Totally. And that's not to say that we're all going to have like the clientele that is our exact personality type. I think I have a lot of like quiet type personalities who work well with me because I am so extroverted and can kind of get them out of their shell. And then I also have the extroverts that we just yap the whole appointment. But I feel like it depends and people are going to go to who they're most attracted to energy wise. And they can't, you can barely see that on social media as it is. So do your best to get yourself out there in that way.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the goals that you set for yourself in order to continue like on a growth path.
Yeah, so I'm super lucky because our salon does have a system that we work on that just helps you pick your goals and it helps you tell you what you need to be able to grow your business and kind of get to the next level and level up. So we focus a lot on rebooks and retail and how much you are making per client and per day. But honestly, beyond that, even if that isn't a system that you have in place for yourself, those are the things that I would really recommend tracking. Your rebooks are super important because that's how many clients are impressed and want to come back to you and want to spend more time with you. Your retail, it doesn't even have to do about bringing the money in itself. It really is, again, the connection and the trust that you're making with your client by recommending things that are really going to help them and really help you in the long run. And then just about getting more clients in and just tracking your numbers day by day. As long as you're staying consistent with those numbers and you're hitting your goals day to day, you're gonna grow over time. And then eventually you can raise your prices, raise your ability, whatever you decide to make it work for you.
So rebooks, retail, and like overall like service dollar.
Yeah.
It sounds like. Okay. I mean, it sounds like, I know, but for the listeners.
Yes.
So for your rebook goal, like for example, where you're at in your career right now, you're double booked 40 days a week, you're working with an assistant, you're a six-figure stylist. What is your rebook goal right now?
My rebook goal is, I believe, over 80% right now. So that's where that client connection, like I said, just really becomes important. Because if my assistant just spent the entire appointment doing that client's hair and they really didn't see me much and then they're paying me for it, honestly, they're probably not going to want to rebook with me as much. Yeah, just little things like that I feel like are super, super important.
Definitely. Do you have like a certain, for your retail goal, Are you doing like a certain amount of units that you want to sell? Are you doing like a certain dollar amount that you want to sell? What is your goal for that right now?
I generally go by units just because of my own personal goals and due to me working in a commission salon, not having to actually get the product on my own. I think a unit is easier for me to track and it's easier for me to keep track of. But yeah, right now I think I have to basically retail a unit a guest, I'm pretty sure it is. Maybe 4 out of 5 if I have 5 that day. But for the most part, I have to do close to 100% retail, like at least doing 1 unit per client. But honestly, that is not as hard as you think. I think a lot of people get overwhelmed. This happened to me for sure when I was building a clientele. They already had their full line of products that they needed that they were already using that I recommended. And I never want to be the stylist that's pushing product on my clients without them actually needing anything. So make sure you're keeping up with them. Like, do you need to re-up on any of your product? Do you need anything like this? And remember that you have clients that love new things. Like, we love new things. We get a new product in the salon and we are all about it. Like, why would your client not be? Sometimes I feel like I don't want to be too pushy, so I don't even mention it. And then my client's like, what is that? What is that? So just take the time to still be educating your clients about on products, even if you feel like you already have them like set up.
Yeah. I feel like the thing about retail is it scares so many hairdressers. And I think the biggest reason is they don't understand or see the value in retailing to your client. And like you said, it's not about the money. Granted, like, yeah, you're going to earn, if you work in a salon that provides you a retail commission, you're going to earn money on it, but it's not about that. I feel like it's about, and there's actually a study that has been done on it. And I think it's something like, don't quote me on this, but it's something along the lines of like, for every product that you sell your client, they're like 30% more likely to return to you.
Yeah.
And it's so weird to say, but like, think about it. Your client is in the shower washing their hair with the shampoo that you recommended to them. You're automatically going to come to mind. And I know that's weird to say. Like,
it's so true though.
Thinking about me in the shower, but like, you know what I mean?
But they're like, damn, my hair.
Yeah. So it does help kind of keep you in their mind and starts to build like that trust and that like relationship with you as their stylist.
Totally. I also think it kind of builds trust when you start recommending the same products to them over and over again. Nobody wants to go to the same hair salon and then every time you go in, they're recommending a different product. Like, that to me is just pushy sales. If they're going to come in and you're recommending the same thing, then they're going to realize, okay, well, they actually mean what they're recommending to me. And clearly that it'll actually be beneficial. And most of my clients, after the second or third time of me recommending it, they've learned and earned that trust. And they'll get it and they'll try it at least. And they usually end up loving it. So,
yeah, I feel like consistency goes a long way with retail because it just comes across more authentic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So we talked about what your current like rebooking goal is, what your retail goal is. And then we mentioned service dollars. So what are you doing for like, what's your service dollar goal right now?
Yeah. So I have just slowly increased mine over time just to get myself to where I want to be. Right now, my goal is just around $1,000 a day, which might sound really crazy to everyone, but it's really not. Once you are double booking, once you have a strong clientele and they are consistent and coming in and you've worked out how to double book efficiently, it really is pretty easy. Like I said, I work 4 days a week, 8-hour days, and that's my goal and I tend to hit it. So
definitely. I feel like it's especially easier if you're focusing on like creating your niche or whatever to be like more higher price services. Like, you do a ton of color and extensions, which I feel like makes it just 10 times easier to hit a goal that high.
Absolutely. And like I said, just with anything else, what you put out is what you're going to get back into it. So my page, if you go look at it, is mostly just balayage, blonding, extensions, all those high dollar services. Yes, I'll do cuts here and there. Yes, I take care of my like regular clients that I've had forever who just come in to get their little 4-week haircut. But that's not necessarily the stuff I'm going to be posting all the time because that's not the clientele that I want to keep building. So I've built myself up with a lot of clientele of these higher dollar services that I love. And it's worked out for me.
Yeah, it's kind of more of like you said earlier with social media, like what you put out there is what you get back. And that goes with like the type of clientele that you attract, not only their personalities, but also like the services that they're looking to get.
Absolutely. Just all around.
Perfect. All right, Kenzie. So let's recap on what we covered in today's episode. What are the top 4 things that you think our listeners should focus on if they are looking to build up their clientele and be booked and busy behind the chair like you are?
Yeah. So like I said, I would say that the top things that I would highly recommend focusing on are your client experience, making sure that they are happy and consistently happy throughout all of their experiences. Learning how to work with an assistant so that it's going to help you and not hurt you. Keep a positive mindset, like, all the time, as much as you can through it. Negativity is never going to help you grow in any direction. And then truly just focus on those goals, those rebooks, that retail, and that service dollar. Just make sure that you are tracking it and staying consistent.
Awesome. And then just for those of you who are just starting out behind the chair and maybe aren't even sure where to start, I am going to give you what we give our new stylists behind the chair in our salon. Their goals are going to be a 50% rebook. We want them to retail one unit to every other client that they see. And then if they're looking to specialize in like blonding or extensions or something like that, we really strive for them to be consistently scheduling one to two of those services per day. I think that's a really great place to start. And then as you start to hit those goals more consistently, then you can start to increase them. Keep in mind, whenever you are increasing a goal, you should also be increasing your pricing. When you're hitting goals, you're achieving something, you're gaining client loyalty and demand of time, which is huge. And it should cost them more now to get time on your schedule. So keep those things in mind. If you ever have questions about this, feel free to reach out to us. We're always happy to help grow a fellow stylist. Other than that, we thank you guys so much for tuning in today. We will see you in 2 weeks for our next episode, where I am going to be talking about being a stylist versus being a salon owner, and figuring out when it might be the right time to start working on your business and not working in your business.
Ooh,
it's going to be a good one.
Love that.
Thanks again for listening, and we will see you guys next time.